Morning.
Morning.
Got the NASB that's old, so if I don't agree with what you're reading, I'm sorry. But anyway, haven't got over to the LSB yet or anything. But no, I usually go door-to-door ministry, and so at times there'll be, why is what you say about the gospel and that, why should I believe that? Especially like from a Muslim. Why we believe Jesus was a prophet, we don't believe he rose from the dead. So there needs to be a comeback to that, what God is the true God. And I like to go to Exodus myself, and this is kind of a segue back for Jim coming next week back to Genesis, because he brought up that what we have from Genesis, Israel didn't have writings of anything. Most likely there was not written things that people just had as knowledge. There would be word of mouth of some things, like we'll read in Abraham's account with the Lord and two angels, that Abraham will kind of do a praying with God. He'll say, well, Lord, you can't destroy the righteous with the unrighteous for Sodom. And so Abraham then starts with 50 and works his way down. Now, if there's 20, you wouldn't destroy it, right? And he'll say, now, I'm but dust. So he knows he came from dust. There was a passing on of some knowledge that way. And then what we have as a day, what is a day? I mean, we just take this for granted. And a day, as we read in Genesis, is God separated, he created light, let there be light, separated the light from the darkness. But he also caused a spin, caused a rotation. That's why there was a morning and an evening one day, because one side experienced the light during its time and the darkness during its time. And that has continued on and on, as we read in Genesis. We take it as God's word. It is. But why should we take it as God's word? You can just say that to people. And we get to Exodus for this knowledge. And so if you want to turn to Exodus, we'll kind of start with chapter 14. We'll just hit some highlights, but we really want to get to 19 and 20. So we'll work our way there. So if we turn to Exodus 14, we see that Egypt is coming after Israel now. God is freeing them. He has announced through his prophet, one-on-one with Moses, that I have come down to deliver my people from Egypt, where they are slaves. Now, they can't free themselves. They're under bondage. And the Lord says that. I have come down for this purpose. He's said he has revealed himself to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as God Almighty. But I have now revealed myself as Lord. And he'll say that. That's back in Exodus 3 and 4. Now as Lord, I have revealed myself. And I will deliver the sons of Israel out of bondage, out of slavery. And so this is his salvation, is a part of his nature that he's revealing. And he's actually coming down to do it. And we'll see that especially right here, chapter 14, if we look at verse 13. The Egyptians have come down, and the Lord in the pillar of cloud. And he says, the angel of the Lord. It's not God the Father. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ in the cloud. And it's not a tornado cloud. It's a cloud. He moves. He puts himself between Egypt and the people. And now Moses says in verse 13, Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's Yahweh, I am, his newly revealed name, which he, the Lord, will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. And sure enough, this happened. So the Lord came between certain death and the people so that they could live. He opened up the sea, divided the sea. Israel went through, and this was during the night that they do this. And just as daybreak is coming, Israel is all up on the other side. And then the Lord tells Moses to cross your hands. Moses doesn't strike the water. He is told to wave his hand. That's how the Lord divides the water. Now he says, bring the waters back on Egypt, because they have tried to follow. The cloud has just been going behind the people. So it's, Egypt thought, well, I'm gonna go after them. Sure enough, the Lord makes the waters cover them, and they see the sun starting to come up. They'll never see the sun again. Israel now begins their new day, and they're now on the other side, just overjoyed. Chapter 15, they have Moses, then, and Moses and the sons of Israel, verse 1, sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, just as overwhelming joy. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will extol him. Now, how many people are coming out of here? In chapter 12, we're told 600,000 men, not counting wives and children. So this is believed to be about 1,500,000, something like that, people now witnessing God's salvation. I was a slave. Now I'm free and overjoyed. And the Lord has become my salvation. That verse there we read in verse 2, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Repeated in Psalm 118, which is the same psalm in which the psalm writer says, I prayed to the Lord, you've answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and I will rejoice in him. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So that's him becoming a man, Jesus, and becoming our salvation. It's recorded again in Isaiah chapter 12, when the context is the kingdom, and Jesus is now king of the kingdom, clothed in the righteousness of the Spirit of the Lord, and he will judge righteously. That's mentioned in chapter 11, and then in chapter 12. And you, Israel, in that day you will say, you were angry with me, for I had sinned, but your anger has turned away. Behold, the Lord is my salvation. I see him now. See, Israel is there. There's no more of what we experience. And in that day you will say, see, and he says, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He will ultimately, truly deliver just as he's done. He will come put himself between what will destroy us and what will bring us to life. So this is just, it's his nature. That's what he's revealing. At the end of chapter 15, now they're beginning their way, and they are led to a place where they want to drink the water at the end, but they can't. They'll call this place Marah because it's bitter. The Lord shows Moses a tree that he can put in the water. Now they can drink it. And the teaching they learn from that is in verse 26, and he said, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, a person has a voice, and that's what this whole thing, the Lord calls his voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I know them, and they follow me. We're hearing the voice of the Lord when we read this, see? Unlike any other books we would read or about other gods, this is the living voice of the Lord, see? Really always struck me. If you'll give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, based on what he says, see, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians. For I, the Lord, his revealed name, am your healer. So the negative judgments that were put on Egypt will not fall on Israel for faith and obedience. Then they are able to drink that water, obviously, and that's what they learn from that. So Moses isn't told to write it down yet. He really hasn't written anything. He's 80 years old now. He spent 40 years in Egypt, fled Egypt, spent 40 years in Midian. Now he's 80 years old, beginning this journey, see? And he hasn't written anything yet. So now in chapter 16, we get to manna. This is the beginning of this. So we'll not read everything, but it says they get now, leave Elam. It says now they're in the second month, on the 15th day. There in verse 1. On the 15th day of the second month after departure from the land of Egypt. So they've spent time just by those waters so far. And then the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. The Lord doesn't get angry with him. He said, the Lord will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. So you see this day thing is beginning to be a focus that they'll learn. Each day will do this. He says, they will go out, gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And it will come about on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. So there is a distinction now. They're going to know this is, yeah, it's a miracle. They have to do what God says each day. We'll see that. But especially, there's a sixth day, they're going to get double. They think, well, this is a blessing. That's all they know at this point to start with. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, at evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us? And then Moses said, this will happen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and bread to the full in the morning. For the Lord hears your grumblings, which you grumble against him. And what are we? Your grumblings are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the sons of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumblings.'" And it came about, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. That's where the Lord had been leading them since they left Egypt. The Lord's cloud led them, says, day by day and night, right from Egypt. They didn't really sleep. They just went day and night traveling to get away. They got to the edge of the Red Sea and stopped. The Lord put his cloud between Egypt and the people. He'd been leading them still in the cloud. But now they see the glory of the Lord in the cloud, see? And from there, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the grumblings of the son of Israel. Speak to them, saying, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you will know that I am the Lord your God.'" So it came about at evening that the quails came up, covered the camp. So that was that. And this is not a negative thing. They eat quails. They have meat, and it's a joyful thing. It's showing that I am the Lord your God. There wasn't quails yet. There won't be quails anymore until later, and it'll be a negative thing then, because they grumble again. The Lord sends quails, but it'll be bad. They'll eat too much and vomit it at that point. This is good, though. And says, in the morning, there was then a layer of dew around the camp, and when the layer of dew evaporated, behold, on the surface of the wilderness, there was a fine flake-like thing, fine as the frost on the ground. And when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" Well, that's manna. That's what that means. What is it? That's manna. So when you hear manna, that's, what is it? I can use that today. Manna, what's that? When the sons of Israel saw it, that's what they said, for they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as you should eat, and you take an omer apiece according to how many are in your family, but each one eats a certain amount." The sons of Israel did that. Verse 17, and some gathered much, some little. They gathered what they needed. Now, verse 19. Moses said to them, "Let no man leave any of what of it, that's this day portion, until morning." That's your portion. Don't leave it over. Eat what you gathered. Here's why. But some didn't listen. And They didn't listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning. It bred worms and became foul. So don't leave it over till morning. Do what God says. He's teaching them. See, this is a daily portion. Moses was angry. So this is now the first time Moses is angry with the people. And they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. So they had to gather it in the morning. They couldn't wait till afternoon to get it. They had to go out. So this is their routine each day. 22. Now it came about on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread and two omers for each one. When all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, they had this question. What, you know, why are we doing this? Now we get to the seventh day. This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance. It's a holy Sabbath to the Lord. And you'll bake it and do what you need. Verse 24. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered. And it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. Well, that's a miracle. Normally, it's going to be foul. You eat it that day. There was purposely twice as much. You eat that day's portion, and the next day you've got everything, and it's just as fresh as you'd gathered it. But then you go out on the, you know, on the next day, the first day of the week, and it all starts over. Seventh day is a Sabbath. This is the first time in history now they know of something as a Sabbath. See, there's no indication of worship until this point. They don't even know it's worship even. They just know it's, well, I got to do this. And so now it's called a Sabbath because the Lord is doing a miracle for them. They're letting them rest. The Lord's letting them have a day off, and they can eat their food. So eat it today, it says, verse 15, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you will gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And as you might guess, in verse 27, it came about on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they didn't find any. So it's a witness. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 28, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So we have this instruction. And if you remember the temptations Jesus had with Satan, he is told to, well, make these stones bread. Because if you're the son of God, you can do that. And Jesus said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 8, which is looking back to the manna. That's what Deuteronomy 8 says. It says, the Lord humbled you in the wilderness to teach you, to test you, to see if you would keep the instructions of the Lord. That's just what was said here. And so that you might know that man does not live by bread alone, but by everything that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So that is what they're learning. The Lord is actually teaching them by practice in life what we do for living by the Lord and his word. See? So now let's go to chapter 19. This is really our goal here. 19 and the beginning part of 20. Because this is a game changer right here. And this is what I like to share with people. This is my long approach to the short thing I would say to people. But since we have a group here, we need the whole version here. So chapter 19 says, in the third month now, after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day, so it's the beginning of the third month, they've had now manna for a couple weeks. That's about it. On that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And this is now, just for purpose here, in Exodus 3, at Moses' call, the Lord said, and I am sending you to Pharaoh in Egypt to bring back the people. And Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and do this? And the Lord said to him, certainly I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you. You will come back with the people to this mountain and worship me. So here we are. This is the sign that the Lord said to Moses in person. And now here we are. Verse 2, when they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, and this is just like at the burning bush encounter. This basically is where this all started in Exodus 3, back at the burning bush where the angel of the Lord, Jesus, was in that burning bush display and then spoke to Moses. So now we're back here. Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings. That's how the Lord calls his own delivering. He's the eagle and put them on his wings and brought them. That's why Egypt couldn't touch them. They're on the eagle's wings. Really cool. And brought you to myself here. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, see, voice, you obey my voice and keep my covenant. So this will be a new covenant because the Lord had said, I have come down remembering the covenant that I made with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's an ongoing covenant. So this is now beginning the, what then is the new covenant. We know the new covenant as yet again Jesus' covenant, but to them it's new. You will keep my and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. He is choosing a people out of all the peoples of the earth because the Lord is free to do that. He's free to judge. He's free to let live. He's choosing who he's choosing, see? They are to know that. And you can be my own possession by your faith and obedience, see? And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel. So Moses came. He went down then. He had gone up, now he's going down to the people. Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And boy, you pray that would have been true and is true for many, but not all. But they make that statement as a group. So Moses leaves the people, goes back up, same day. And Moses then brought back the words of the people to the Lord up there now with the Lord again. And the Lord then said to Moses, now here begins the game changer I'm talking about. Behold, I shall come to you in a thick cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you. So it's no longer going to be a one-to-one. There will be 1,500,000 witnesses hearing this voice of the Lord, not just Moses, see? That's what's very special about this witness that I'm talking about. In order that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. So yes, Moses is a prophet, but he is called a very distinct kind of prophet, the Lord says. You'll read later, like in the book of Numbers, I believe, is where it's said that I don't have a prophet like Moses among all the people. Because normally a prophet, they'll hear it one-to-one with a vision or something. But Moses has seen me face to face. Well, now there's witnesses that back that up, see? They will believe you forever. That's why we can believe Genesis 1:1, is all these witnesses, see? This is what I'm getting at. So let's go on. So based on that, then Moses is still up there and he says, here, Lord, is what the people said, basically. Then Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Okay, we still don't know when the Lord's going to come yet, but this is what he's going to now say. Now go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you, Moses, shall set bounds for the people all around the mountain. Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. Then here's an interesting thing. The Lord is still speaking. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain. So not up on the mountain, come to the mountain. So nothing really talked about who's going to blow it, anything like that yet. When you hear the ram's horn, you come. Okay, so then Moses went down at this point, back down again to the people. So there's this up and down that very day. So now Moses back down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. And then there's an add-on, Moses says, and don't go near a woman. So this is special. You know, just keep your minds focused is what this means. This is going to be a big deal. So the next verse, verse 18. Now, Mount Sinai. Oh, excuse me. So I jumped ahead. Verse 16. Yeah, I lost my place. So it came about on the third day. There was day one, day two. They went about normal days. But now here's a new deal on the third day. When it was morning, there was thunder and lightning flashes, and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud trumpet sound. So the people are just waking up, and they think it's a thunderstorm kind of thing. That wasn't in the forecast, but the Lord said he would be coming down. And there's a thick cloud, and they hear a and nobody down here is blowing it. So, does 1 Thessalonians come to mind? When there'll be the last trumpet and the assembly gathering up in the clouds with the Lord? So you see what this is. This is God allowing his presence to take place with people. That's the awesome thing about this. With his voice, see? So heaven is wherever God wants his existence to be, manifesting his glory. But when he wants to come down, he can do it. And he's manifesting his presence there too. So this is what is the big deal here, see? So all the people in the camp trembled. Yeah, I would too. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain, obediently and trembling. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. So now you get the earth shaking too. You know, am I going to live? Could have been their thought, but they surely didn't say it this time. You know, they said, what have you brought us out of Egypt for, to die here? Well, here's a great presence of the Lord, but no one's dying. He brought them here to hear him speak. So they see the fire, the smoke ascending like a great furnace, whole mountain quaking, and when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. So it's as if you're now getting the presence of the Lord coming. That's really the picture there, because you're hearing trumpet blast. It's like a car coming. Honk. And now you're right up on the car. And he's here. So it says, when the sound grew louder and louder, Moses spoke. So probably what he says here is, we're here, because that's what the trumpet meant. We're to gather. And then it said, the Lord answered with thunder. So answered him with thunder, and the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain with all this going on. See, now they had had 2 days ago, three basically, the up and down, but now this is a big deal. And Moses alone goes up there now, went to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top. Moses went up. Verse 21, the Lord spoke to Moses. Now, go back down immediately. Warn the people so that they don't come up. And Moses in verse 23 says, the people can't come up here, Lord, for you did warn us, saying, set these bounds so that we won't get destroyed. See, consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest the Lord, he, break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. So he'll kind of begin to come back up, but he doesn't get very far. Because now verse 20. See, this is the whole context. That's why I kind of hate chapter breaks sometimes. Because chapter 20 goes on here. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. So now when we read this, we are hearing the voice of the Lord. It's like it's on recorder, and you have a cell phone or something, you can play that back. This is God's voice speaking here. It's not just words on a page. It's God's voice that 1,500,000 heard at this time, see? So that's why this is special. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. The last temptation of Jesus, be gone, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That's basically this, the third test. The second test was in actually chapter 17. We didn't read it. And that was the water, that they were thirsty, and Moses was told to strike the rock of Horeb. That's this mountain. The other side of Sinai is called Horeb. It's on that side. And it brought water. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't provoke God was a second test. Now, here's the third one, see? Yes, we're going to worship the Lord. He's appearing to speak. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. Second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. Next commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And now we're getting to this commandment, and this is special. Remember the manna. They've learned this six-day routine. On the sixth day, they get double. On the seventh day, they rest. Here we go. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. Why? Genesis 1 through the order of creation. Why? Here is why the voice of the Lord speaking is going to tell us how long creation took. Is there a gap theory? Is there anything like that? Was it millions of years? Here it is, right here. They gathered manna in 6 days. Here is the other thing here now. Four, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, now he's making it worship, therefore the Lord rested, he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now it's worship. Why? Because the Lord is saying this with all these people gathered. So we could go through the rest of the commandments, but let's jump down to verse 18. It says, and all the people perceived the thunder, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, you speak to us yourself and we'll listen, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. So, I mean, these Ten Commandments are awesome, but I don't think we're going to live. Moses, you go hear the rest. And so Moses then said to the people, do not be afraid, for God has come in order to test you, and in order that the fear of him may remain with you, so that you may not sin. So the people stood at a distance while Moses approached the thick cloud where God was. Moses would spend basically the rest of the day with the Lord. Then he would come back down. There's no written Ten Commandments yet when he comes back down again. And in chapter 24, Moses writes down the things he hears, both these Ten Commandments and the rest of the days speaking with the Lord. And that's all that had been written. And he makes an offering. And that basically begins this covenant, because he takes the blood, sprinkles it on the altar and on the people. But now let's just really quick, we can jump to Deuteronomy in chapter 4 and how Moses, 40 years later now, Moses is going to die. He's not going to go into the land. He's now 120 years old, but he is not going to enter the land. But in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 32, he says this, and I thought this would be a good way to conclude this. With all we've now learned, here's what Israel was to learn, those surviving at that point. Indeed, ask now concerning the former days which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, and inquire from one end of the heavens to the other, has anything been done like this great thing? Or has anything been heard like it? Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire as you have heard it and survived? Or has a God tried to go to take for himself a nation from within another nation by trials, by signs and wonders, by war and by a mighty hand, and by an outstretched arm, and by great terrors, as the Lord your God did for you in Egypt, before your eyes. You were witnesses, you guys. All you millions of people, to you it was shown that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is no other besides him. Out of the heavens, he let you hear his voice to discipline you. And on earth, he let you see his great fire, and you heard his words from the midst of the fire, because he loved your fathers. Therefore, he chose their descendants after them. And he personally brought you from Egypt by his great power. driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you, to bring you in and to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is today. Know therefore today and take it to your heart that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. So you shall keep His statutes and His covenants, commandments, which I am giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may live long on the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. That's what He wanted them to learn. And that's really what I believe He wants us to learn. That's why I try to share in a much smaller way. Some people say, well, it might be long, but it's really what, why this God is the true God. And why in 6 literal days, God made everything. He said so. 1,500,000 people heard it. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for all You've done. Father, thank You for sending Jesus. My goodness, none of us deserve any of Your greatness. But thank You, Lord, that You would send Your own Son to be our salvation. And we thank You for displaying Your own presence with these people so that we might read it now and be blessed in the same way and realize that we can stand before Your presence and not die, that You want us to be with You because of Your great love. Thank You so much, and pray that Your word will truly work in our lives as You want it to and please You. In Your name we pray. Amen.